5 of the Church Bible. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go, select lambs for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood in the basin. None of you shall go outside the door of your home this morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike down the Egyptians. When he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over that door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you down. You shall observe this rite as a perpetual ordinance for you and your children. When you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this observance. And when your children ask you, 'What do you mean by this observance?' you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, for he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt when he struck down the Egyptians, but spared our houses.'" And the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites went and did just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, open my lips, that in my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Amen. Question, who here has ever seen that TV show, Who Do You Think You Are? Some of you have seen this. The young people are like, is it on Netflix? No, standard TV. So basically, Who Do You Think You Are is a show where they take somebody that is fairly famous, and they go through and they look at kind of their story and their ancestry. So you'll have someone like J.K. Rowling, and they'll be like, "What do you think you know about yourself?" And she'll say, "Oh, I think, you know, my family's in Scotland, but we weren't always here." And they'll be like, "That's true. Your ancestors are from Albania." "What?" Now she's on a plane to Albania. And they pull out, you know, they'll be in some old kind of room with documents everywhere, and they'll pull out, you know, old books, and they'll have white gloves on, and they'll flip over and they'll say, "If you see here on this line, your great 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 grandmother used to deliver milk." And then everyone goes, "Oh, wow." She'll go, "Oh, I didn't realize she delivered milk." And they'll be like, "And if you see here another document, and then she killed 10 people, and this is horrific, and oh, this is really horrible now, you know." And it's this kind of like roller coaster of storytelling of like, "Oh, I thought she was just a milkmaid. Now I realize all my ancestors are sociopaths." And that's kind of the way this like thing works out. And you're just sitting and you're riveted. You're like eating popcorn, like, "Wow, J.K. Rowling's a sociopath." It's really fantastic. So you should watch this. But the whole thing about this, the whole point of this show is they find out who they are. They're like, I thought I knew a part of who I was, but I only knew this little small piece. And through knowing the show, I actually now know and can see the story of who I am. I'm reconnected with my story. I'm reconnected with my roots. And as we read through this Old Testament and Exodus and get into this Bible, for us as Christians today, it is our Who Do You Think You Are. It's our going back and seeing our story. It's refinding our roots of who we are. It's reconnecting our lost story that we lose and we get fixated on just this present time. And we think that St. Mary's becomes, Stoke Bishop becomes the center of the universe, and this is our story. It is not. There is so much more to our story. So what we're going to do today is we're going to start, and we're going to look, like Joe said earlier, at this huge story. We're going to start kind of right at creation, and we're going to go right all the way over to Jesus. Are you with me? Yeah? So if you have a pen and paper, take it out, because I'm going to throw some Bible scriptures at you that you can read later. Or you can just crack your Bibles open, the white ones right there in your book, and we're going to go right through it, okay? The grand story of Jesus reconnecting us to who we are, what our story is. So we enter into this story in Genesis, and it's this God of creation who creates this world. It tells us who God is. And he throws this world into creation. And you've got these chapters about floods and Noah and all of these different things happening. But it takes a very different turn when we get to Genesis chapter 12. And that's where we're going to start telling our story. See, that's the introduction of Abraham. And these chapters are actually really connected to where we're going in Exodus. So over three different chapters in Genesis, 12, 15, and 17, we have unfolding the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant between God and Abraham. And this is essential. This is important. And if you don't know what covenant is like a commitment to a people. It's like coming together and saying, I am committed to relationship. I'm committed to being with you and looking after you. And so we have God coming in verse 12, chapter 12 of Genesis, to Abraham, and he starts this covenant. He says, I'm going to give you land. This is the first promise, but you have to go find it. It's the promised land. I promise you land. Do you see where we get that land, the promised land? It's right there in 12. God promises Abraham land. And so he leaves his ancestors, he leaves his people, and he strikes out a new path, following God in faith. And he is a man of faith with his whole family. And then we see later coming into this, in 15, it deepens. And it's not just about land, but now it's about people as well. And what God does is God comes and visits Abraham. If you were we talked a little bit about this, if you were at the Weekend Away last year when we went to Lee Abbey. And what God does is he comes and he creates a covenant directly with Abraham. And in those days, how you would create a covenant is you would, especially like among kings, is you would take an animal, especially like an unblemished cow, and you would cut it in half and you would put two pieces aside. And then the person in that relationship who had the most power would walk in between that cow and would say, this is the covenant I'm going to give to you. And if I don't keep it, I'll be like this cow torn in two. That was the mindset, right? But Abraham couldn't keep this up. And so you have God walking between this cow. And the reason this is important is because it's God saying, I promise to you that you are my people. I promise to you that I'm going to look after you. I promise to you that I'm going to be a piece of this relationship. I promised you land, and now I promise you people as well. So we've got 12 and 15, and then we've got 17 is the next piece of this blessing of Abraham. Genesis 17, where he says, not only am I going to give you land, Abraham, not only am I going to give you a people, I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to make you a blessing to this world. Why is this important? Land, people, and blessing. This is the story of Israel. This is the formation of the Israelites and that people. This is what pulls into their roots their story. This is who they are. They're a people formed by God to have land, to be a people, and to be a blessing. This is their story. And so we see that as we kind of come into Exodus, and we've got Moses being introduced that we've been preaching about, everything is not going to plan. Nobody is doing what they should be doing. If you come to this burning bush, say, and as we come into Exodus, Moses should be this like amazing person that it should be in the courts and have his, he should have loads of people and land. He should be someone that is powerful and setting his people free. But instead we have Moses, who is a failed leader, who has lost his authority, who has lost his people, who has lost his title, lost his land. He's a nobody. And these Israelites that have this promise from Abraham have been rejected and are in slavery. They are not a blessing to anybody. They have no land, and they're not even a people. They're slaves. Nobody is doing what they should be doing in our story in Exodus. Except God formed this people. God is at the center of their story because he made a covenant with them. So we have God again inserting himself into the story, and there's this burning bush out of nowhere. God inserts himself and says, Moses, it's not about you and your failures. Go and bring these people to freedom because I am sends you. The I am who sets that covenant with Abraham still cares for these people, and we're going to bring them to Exodus. So we know this story, don't we? We've been kind of preaching our way through this. And we have Moses going, and he's an insecure leader, but we see these divine things happening and these plagues happening. And we've got Pharaoh, who is not a great leader, right? Pharaoh is, well, we could learn some lessons about leadership from Pharaoh. He hardens his heart, and he's like, these are my slaves, these are my people. And that brings us up to where we are at today. But it's important that we've got this. Are we tracking with me? Do you hear this story? Do you see that this is land, people, and blessing? This is the story. And so you've got what happens is this sign of this unblemished lamb. And if these people are kind of nomadic people from Abraham, this lamb is the most perfect thing they can find among them. Something that hasn't been tainted by sin and corruption. Something that for them, as they see within it, the shedding of this blood, that is life itself. It is perfect life. And so when they shed this and put it on the door, it's not a sign to God. It's a sign to them that they would see this sign of perfect life, of blood. And God passes over. And he says in this chapter, he says, this is the story that you will remember to the promised land. This is the story that you will keep remembering. And so God comes into this story again. God comes in and he passes over these houses. And they enter into Exodus. They move out of this towards this promise. But it's not without pain. It's not without pain. We see a lamb that was slaughtered, the very nature itself. We see Egyptians that had hardened their hearts and come against them have pain as well. There is pain in this Exodus. It's a part of our story. It's a part of their story. So they enter into Exodus. They get to go. They plunder the Egyptians, which I love that part of the story. They all come up and they're like, quick question, can we borrow all of your gold just for the evening? And the Egyptians are like, well, yes, that sounds wonderful. Here is a chest of gold. I give it to you and just return it tomorrow. And they're like, right. Next thing you know, they're gone and they plundered Egypt. And they're going to this promised land. Why does this matter for us? Why is this story so important to our story? Because from this story of this blood that they are remembering from the promised land, these people, these faithful Israelites, don't just remember it till they get to the promised land. They remember it, and they remember it, and they remember it. For hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, they come and they celebrate this Passover. Year in, year out, no matter what's happening, through the whole rest of that arc of Scripture, to an Israel that's divided, one with David coming in and having power, ones with prophets calling everyone to be either holy or unholy, throughout all of the Scripture that happens, we have a people that are practicing this Passover. year in, year in, remembering this Passover. For all these dark ages that they have, from the close of the Old Testament to the New Testament, there are the Israelites practicing, remembering this Passover. And then you have this New Testament coming about, this story of Jesus. And you know what again? It's the same as before. The people don't have that identity. Where is their land? What people have they formed? Who are they? And you have Jesus writing himself into the story. The same God that walked between that calf. The same God that threw creation into existence. The same God that is represented by that lamb that was slain is in front of them. And he lifts up that cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant." The story that they have been practicing and they weren't expecting has God in the midst of it practicing the Passover with them and saying, "This is about me. This is about Jesus. And I am going to fulfill that promise that has been set all the way back then." Do you want a new land? I give you not just a promised land, I give you eternity. The land that I give you is heaven. I'm going to not just form a people that is Israel. I'm spreading this out and I'm welcoming every tribe and nation, every color, every people group. Everyone gets to come in and become the church. Everyone gets to be welcomed in. I'm forming a people throughout time that is the church. And not only this is their land and people, the blessing is that I reside with you. I reside with you individually in your hearts. I reside with you as a community. And you get to be a blessing to the world. That's what the church does. He blows all the boxes open and he says, "This is the new covenant. This covenant that started with Abraham, this is the fulfillment of that. This Passover, you see it now that it's actually about me." So what do? We come, and that story is 2,000 years old. And we've got Christians, people throughout history, remembering that new covenant through taking communion, don't we? In the same way that that Passover was remembered and linked, now our story comes. And in this symbol of bread and wine, we enter into the story of who we are. We are a people that is covenanted to God. He loves us and he's for us. He inserts a way for us and he promises us real life. It's beautiful, isn't it? This is our story. We are not left just to be wanderers. We are rooted in a people. We are rooted in a story. And oftentimes we forget that and think that it's just about what we can see now. Church of England's not doing so hot, is it? Who cares? This is not this epicenter of the world. We're part of a much bigger story, aren't we? Let's come back to remembering that story. So I'm going to end with this. Can I end with one final thing? You guys still with me? Your faces are very serious, but I feel like you've heard what I've said. I'm going to tell you what I tell. So I've taught, my mind's gone blank. What's that thing? This is why preaching without notes isn't really helpful. What do you call it when you, it's like when you tell kids it's the first communion, confirmation. So I've taught a number of confirmation classes, okay? And part of confirmation is discipleship and telling people about like the story like this. Part of it is kind of what happens when we take communion. So I don't know what you think happens at communion, but this is what I tell them, and I'm going to tell you now. And we're going to do some hand actions. Can you do this with me? Some hand actions? I promise you it's going to be helpful. So the first thing we do, put your hand here, is we remember that we're a part of the story. So what I do as this communion is happening is we come first and we start with repentance. We say, "God, this story is not about me, but it's about you. Help me to remember that I'm not a part of John's story. I'm John in God's story. So forgive me of my sins." So it starts here. That's the first place we do. We start here. And then we look back. Yeah, do that. We look back if you're able. So we're here and then we look back. We look all the way back to the story. This is a story that starts in the Old Testament. This story starts with Abraham and Moses and David and the Psalms and the prophets. And it starts with all these people that have been following God. We're linked by this story in communion to all these Christians that have followed here. We're linked to all the people that have been worshiping in St. Mary's that are no longer here, that are out in our graveyard. We're linked to those that are gone, but we still love, that are part of this story that we remember, a faithful group of people that goes all the way back. We're not the epicenter, we're part of a longer story. So we start here, and then we look back. But then we look forward. So this isn't end either, is there? There's promises for us. There's the land that we're going to. The promised land is still coming. There's more for us. God still has more. This isn't the end of the journey. We're only one part of a longer journey. There will be people coming after us. There will be land for us to go to that is not just here. There is more in the promises of God for us. So we start here. It's not about us, but we're part of a bigger story. And there's more story to come. So you go inwards, we go back, and we go forward. And the next thing we do is we go around. Now watch this one when you do this one. Don't hit each other. Is that we get to take communion with all of these other lovely people. I don't take communion in isolation by myself, but I get to share with Usha, my friend. Loads of different people. All of you are part of this as well. We look around because you're our community. And we take it together. We share in this as a worshiping community. So we look around as well. It's not just me, it's all of us. Yeah? And the last thing we do, we look inward, we look back, we look forward, we look around, we look up. And this is where I like to get right about the time that I come to communion. I think about this as I line up, as I stand there. As I come there, we say, God, Jesus, we remember you holding up that cup. Your name is glorified. You are holy and perfect. That you would come to this earth. This is worship. This is worship of you, Jesus. There's none like you. You are perfect. We take this in remembrance of you. I'm not God. I'm a part of a bigger story. We're going somewhere and we do it all together. And it's all because of Jesus. This is what he does for us. And this is what we hold in our story. And this beautiful bread and wine, all of that comes together. Who do you think we are? We are here because of Jesus. We are followers of Jesus. Amen.